Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice. We're here on a Sunday afternoon again with the panelists. Welcome, guys. We hope that you are listening and want to call in and talk to us today. Remember, if you're listening to something and you want to join the conversation, all you have to do is dial us at 646-668-8740. You can join the conversation. Guys, you know, there's another presidential debate tonight, and I want to start off by talking about this trouble that Trump seems to have gotten himself in. Of course, he's been in trouble all along with the things that he's saying, but he's kind of got himself deep this time. And it's, you know, it's about the conversation he had about women. And so I was just curious because, you know, that some men, you know, talk crudely about sex and women's anatomies. And this comes as, you know, no news for anyone who's gone through puberty. But the graphic talk by Trump, including his boast about groping women, it was revealed in a video. But according to men of different races, economics, and religious backgrounds from different parts of the country, this is something that everybody does, men and women. And the question is, do we think Trump should be penalized for it? Do we think it's something? We all know that we all do it. We all know that women do it, men do it, but we're making a big issue out of it for Mr. Trump. Not that we're taking any sides or anything.
Hey, David.
Yes.
This is Frank. I want to correct you right off the bat. We don't all do it. All right?
Well,
so that's the first correction I want to issue tonight. It is not true that we all do it.
But at some time or something, someone, as you grew up through your life, and I guess when you were going through puberty, most kids would say something small or big, whatever. You can't get through junior high school or high school not hearing something. So we all know about it. Let me put it that way. So we all know about it.
David,
so,
this guy basically said that I am a molester, I am a pervert, and I molest women. And now if that is the case, that explains why we can't get any convictions from judges. If what you said is true, that may be the reason why we can't get any long-term sentencing for these guys that go out and rape women, all right? But I'm a Navy guy. I've been in most places that are pretty tough and vulgar language is used, but I've never heard anything like Trump, nor did I ever witness anything like President Clinton did when he was in the Oval Office, all right? But so I don't accept the premise that we all do that at any stages of our life.
Okay, well, let me go with this then. I was saying that we hear it, we see it, we know that it's out there, and that people, my question was, do you think that the conversation that we're having about Trump, and we know what he said, but I'm saying on a different level, we as men, we are, a lot of us have been in situations where that conversation does come up, and we have this conversation, and some women do, some men do, and we talk about it. But I don't think he gets a pass for what he said at all. But my question is then, is it something that we all do and there should be toned down, and this is the time for us to hear that conversation, that everyone is saying that, you know, women don't like it, men don't like it, people are pulling out, the public GOP is pulling out from him because of that. Are we being too strong? Or are we being right? What do you think, Bruce?
Well, I'll disagree with Frank and with you both a little bit, only because I'm a sinner. I'm imperfect like any one of you. I can't believe that anybody can sit here and crucify this guy, whether you're for him or against him. And I haven't decided who, as I've told you many times, I still haven't decided who I'm going to vote for. But I heard something today about he is one that says deplorable, inexcusable, crude, rude, and every other kind of nasty thing you can think of, he says. And maybe thinks. We don't know that. And Hillary is one that has done many of those things that, at least on record or by proof of what we're hearing and what you can research on your own, she's done. So if it's his words against her actions, you got to think about that too. Again, I'm not saying anybody's perfect. I am far from it. But for us to draw these vast conclusions and make these huge statements about this person should burn in hell or something like that because of something they've said, you got to look deeper than that and do your own homework and eventually make your own conclusion on just what you think that person's substance and fiber is made of. Then you can make your decision. But when I hear all these wide sweeping claims about this guy is this or she's that, based on a few things you hear in the press, that's a bunch of BS, to be honest. We've got to make that decision up for ourselves. And I'll draw it from some of my life experience as well, as Frank will, as Don will, as Ron will, as Harold will, as you will, David. But it sounds like we seem to be jumping to conclusions so fast it makes my head spin. You know, sit down, take a breath, do some research, do some homework, then make your decision.
All right, what about you, Don? What do you think?
I don't have to even think about it. It was deplorable. I've never seen a man pimp the media like this man, Donald Trump. I mean, I've never seen it in my life, and I've been in the media for 47 years. The things that comes out of his mouth are deplorable. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Those things are in his heart. And the thing is, I'll grab a woman by the... I should not say that on this show, should I? No. Maybe I should run for president. My daughters are listening to that. And I'm upset because here's a man that has degraded so many different organizations, the Arabs, the Mexicans, I mean women, and running for the United States of America, the highest office in the world, in the free world. This man is running for it and representing me, asking for a job to represent me. Those words would never come out of my mouth. I mean, the thing is, I don't even talk like that. I mean, think like that, but I don't talk like that. Now, I look at it another way, too. And I'm going to keep it real. If Donald Trump would have been of a different hue or a different color, namely black, he would have been marked as a thug. They would have marked him as a thug, kicked him out of the Republican Party. It would have been a backlash like you wouldn't believe. It's a double standard. It's a true double standard. And you ask any woman in the world today, and she will tell you exactly what I just said. Don Wiggins paid for this commercial.
All right. What about you, Ron? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm actually a little bit torn, and let me explain that. First of all, I'm not condoning at all what Donald Trump said about women, and I think it's despicable. And you know, I don't think a person running for the highest office in the world should have ever made a statement like that. But the reason, and it's horrible, and he hasn't, as Don said, it hasn't just been about women. It's been about many different groups of people. So I think that's just unacceptable. On the other hand, I find it hard to believe that that none of us have ever been involved in that kind of talk. I mean, I'm talking about when we were maybe teenagers or in our 20s. I mean, these are things that, as you were saying earlier, David, that and I don't want to, you know, just generalize and say that everybody's done it, because I guess there are exceptions, but in my opinion, I think most people have been involved in this kind of talk. You know, it's just something that you do as a young person, and especially when you're with, you know, maybe with friends or the peer pressure thing. So that's the reason I said I'm a little bit torn. And former mayor Giuliani made a statement this morning on, I think it was Meet the Press, that I think I kind of agree with. And his statement was that, you know, yes, what Donald Trump said is totally wrong, but he's not perfect, and neither is Hillary. We all know that. You know, she said horrible things too, you know, calling half of Trump supporter deplorables. You know, that's basically saying that one quarter of Americans are deplorable, if you do the math, roughly. So, you know, nobody's perfect, and he said, you know, let's look beyond these statements and really see what each candidate stands for and move on from there. So I think I kind of tend to agree with that. I mean, I've already made up my mind, so that's not going to change my mind at all, and I think that's probably the case for most people out there, that they've already made up their minds even before the statement. But I think after Donald Trump made the statement, I think there's going to be a lot more fallout from this, and I think he's basically already lost. I mean, I think it's a done deal. But the other thing that I find interesting, I guess, for lack of a better word, is that Billy Bush, when he was doing the interview, you know, he was making statements. I mean, he was part of it. He was part of the conversation, and yet nobody has said anything about him talking about women that way or condoning.
I expect him to be fired. I expect he'll be fired from his show, his morning show, and probably within a week.
Yeah, and you know, and I think, and you know, he probably should be, because I don't think it's fair, you know, for everybody to be coming down on one person and not the other when there were two people in the conversation. So that's my take on it. I mean, I don't condone what he said, and I think it's horrible, and I don't think it should be the image of the president of the United States.
You know, as a men's show, I want to make this statement that many men out here talk like what we heard Donald Trump saying, but the only way to stop it is, and only another man can stop a man from doing it. If you hear a man doing that and it affects you, then you need to step up to the plate and squash it. I think it'll take a man to stop another man from having those kind of conversations, because it usually happens in groups of men, or for women, groups of women. So it'll take a woman to stop the conversation. So we don't have to do that. Frank.
David, this is Frank.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, this is probably another time that you guys have probably got me very upset. Okay. First of all, you know, if you don't have justice, you don't have peace. All right. So that's the thing is that, you know, I dropped out of high school. I worked my way up the military about 20 ranks or something like that. Okay. I have been at the bottom. I've been with the people at the bottom. I've been with the people at the top. All right. In the armed forces, normally we use a lot of vulgar language. I even noticed that. I'm with the armed forces right now. All right. I have never ever heard what the type of statement that he made about grabbing a person's crotch and just going ahead and forcing themselves upon another human being. Never heard that in the world. Never heard any individual since I've been in this world, other than George Wallace, who is, you know, was probably a racist at the time he did this, talk about other individuals, other nationalities, other race. When you run for the president of the United States, you are the commander in chief. I had no respect whatsoever for Bill Clinton because of his conduct, in addition to some other things, but his conduct in the Oval Office. And I specifically am talking to his death sexual contact with a young female, okay? I don't want to think that I've got any congressman, any senator, any president whatsoever that is anything less than a gentleman, all right? Because in the armed forces, I didn't go to any schools hardly in the armed forces, but I worked my way up. One thing I learned, and I learned on the go, is that my job as an officer is to be a gentleman, all right? And the troops are watching me. If I exhibit poor leadership by using language like that, cursing, or whatever that language is, and of course, I know that language because I grew up in Compton, California. But the problem is, when you get to be 59 years old, hopefully before 59 years old, you don't even want to use language like that because you have been enculturated in other things such as religion, such as leadership. And so how can you be a leader, president of the United States, and use language like that and expect people to lose their lives and follow you into combat? How can you expect that? That's not leadership 101, okay? Is that if you're going to be a leader, you've got to have people willing to risk their lives for you. And you're not going to risk your lives over some Crayola stuff like that. That's not going to happen. All right? So I expect fully that this guy is going to be kicked out of his deal to be able to run for president. Someone like Pence or the previous person is going to be installed in his place. And I expect that's going to happen not later than tomorrow evening. That's what I expect. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a shame on our country. It's a deep shame on our country that we would even have an individual running for office. The other question I have for the rest of the panelists is, tell me specifically what Hillary Clinton has done that's comparable to Trump. Because evidently, I've been in this world for, 60-some years, and I must have missed it, okay? I know what Bill Clinton has done, all right? And I know that when Hillary was the first lady, that she wasn't liked because they didn't like the two-for-one. They were really upset that that here we pay for one guy, but we get two people meddling in the business. So that was one of her problems right from the beginning that I'm aware of. But the rest of the stuff, Benghazi, those guys were contractors. Those were guys that were SEALs who got out of the military so they could make a higher sum of money and they could be basically merchants of war. All right, and I don't know how you equate that. When you go into combat, and I've said this before, when you go into combat, you know good and well that you don't have an expectation that somebody's going to come and rescue your rear end, okay? That is not going to happen. I'm a submarine sailor, and I've been to places where we get briefed right off the bat what to say, what's going to happen if we're captured, okay? So it doesn't happen that you there's an expectation the Air Force is going to fly. We've had people that have been detained for years, okay? Ross Perot sent out an aircraft one day and rescued people because the United States can't do that all the time. So you know that. Those contractors knew that. So, I mean, this whole deal, and I kind of think like Hillary, which he said to the Congressional Committee, all right, that was a loss of life, no doubt, and life is always precious, okay? But, hey, folks, that's just an excuse on their part, in my mind, to just hammer a lady because she's a smart lady, because she's involved in things that they're that is contrary to them. All right. So I want to hear from the panelists
right.
what she has done to equate herself with this Donald Trump.
All right, Bruce, do you have anything to add to that? Just to answer that question.
Wow, Frank, where the heck are you coming from?
Let me tell you this right here.
Frank, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let me talk. I agree with a number of things you said, but to dismiss another individual, man or woman, that has, in many cases, the best of my research and what we've heard, has done things that endangered people or had people loss of life or has blatantly lost.
Wait a minute, Frank, please.
Or has, by their own volition of people that have worked for her, have said, well, I didn't do this. Yes, she did. I didn't lie. Yes, she did. I didn't do this. Yes, she did. This what, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How can you not equate that to be as bad or worse than somebody's, as you said, and I agree, I haven't got a specific,
all right? And by the way, I retired as a security manager. The security apparatus at the naval, at the intelligence command that I was assigned to, I ran that whole entire operation. So I want to know specifically what you're talking about. Bring up a specific. I want to, I don't even defend her. Let me just say, I've never written any article to defend her whatsoever. Okay. But
Frank, I have a specific.
Okay, go ahead, Ron.
I'm listening.
I have a specific, but, I mean, first of all, let me tell you, I'm voting for Hillary without a doubt. I mean, I think she is the most qualified, actually, probably out of anybody who's ever run for president. I think she's probably the most qualified. That's not to say that she's perfect. you know, and she has said things that she regrets, just like all of us. And one concrete example of that is that, you know, earlier on in her political career, she was against gay marriage, and now she's not. So, and just like, you know, that one example, I know that she's flip-flopped on several things, at least from what I've seen in the media. Now, you know, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But you know, she's not perfect by any means. None of us is perfect. But I think she's the most qualified and you know, a much better choice.
John, where are you on this?
Frank, I really like what you said, because you know what really stood out in my mind, and I don't normally agree with everything you said, but I'll tell you, today you nailed it. This man is 59 years old making statements like that. 59 years old making statements like what we heard. He's now 70-something. Okay, now, he also stated what he feels and what he does and how he feels when he's around women. He needs to see a psychiatrist. If I were a therapist, I'd charge him. I would charge him money, because he's a prime candidate for AA, Al-Anon, all of the third step party organizations. He's a molester. I mean, he was talking about molesting a woman, and a married woman at that. Now, let me say this. I haven't always been holier than thou in my life. I haven't always done things right. But I didn't tell on myself. I mean, I knew I was dumb and stupid, but I didn't tell on myself like he did. I mean, you got to be careful when you're in those positions. Look at the position he's in. He did that because he thought that he had so much money he could do anything he wanted to do. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And if he didn't have the money he had, he wouldn't have said those things. He wouldn't have even been in the bus or on the bus. So, I mean, you know, this is deplorable. When you're talking about being a leader, come on, man.
All right. Any more conversation about that, Bruce? I know that you had some concern about the conversation. I don't know if you finished your thoughts.
No, I just say that I would challenge certain people of doing a little more research instead of just believing what's on believing or disbelieving what's on television or the media. Many times, the only way you can really make a really intelligent decision about anything, whether it's a lesser of two evils, like I think we all agree on in many cases, you have to do your own personal homework. And to make these far-reaching supports or condemnations with the sense, I could be wrong, but with the sense that there has not been enough research behind it to back up the claim, I think is wrong. And I'm guilty of it too sometimes. I try not to be, but I am, definitely. And I also agree that I think Don got the closest to it as possible, that by virtue of the words that Donald Trump uses, it exposes maybe a real feeling that's within. But I don't know that without doing enough research of my own to the point that I feel confident of what and who he really is. I'm only asking you, each one of us, including myself, is to make sure you do that kind of personal soul-searching investigation before we condemn or support anybody. And I think we've become a society in general that doesn't do much of that anymore. It's not only instant gratification, but it's instant decisions. And we don't do enough to make sure that we're backing up what we said.
Hey, here's a man that doesn't even know how to make amends. Here's a man that doesn't even know how to say I'm sorry. I mean, come on. We've all made bad choices in life. But one thing I like is a person that can come to me with a contrite heart and say, listen, I made a bad choice. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. And be sincere. When he's apologized, written and then verbally, I really didn't receive it because my spirit wouldn't agree with it. And immediately he attacked Clinton and said, well, Bill did this. Well, Bill's not running for office. It's almost like my sister. Well, I did that, but Mama Ernestine, she did it too. My God, how immature is that? I'm wondering, is he gonna apologize the right way tonight? Will there be a contrite heart, felt, sincere apology, regretful apology to women tonight? And how will he do it?
This is the same guy that talked about the fairness of a judge. What if I had a sentence, I'm in court, and I have a white judge, and I had said something like that about our system, all right? I mean, let me just tell you something. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to go to school to understand how to be civil towards another human being, all right? You don't have to go to school to understand that if you say bad things to another individual, you're not creating peace, you're creating war. All right, and that's constantly what we hear from Donald Trump. You don't have to be a human being to understand that if you're in leadership capacity, you are restrained from being yourself. If that is Donald's self, that's his self, but that's not, he cannot use that self as a leader of the free world, as a leader of our armed forces, as a leader of our nation. And you guys that are civilians, you may be happy with that. That may be your thing. But let me tell you, I am not going to accept that. All right? I'm not going to accept that at all because I expect more from our leaders. I expect that those are people you want to follow and that you're willing to die for. And I'm not going to die for a guy that talks about humanity, that talks about women, that talks about veterans, that talks about women's crashes. That's not going to happen.
All right, but everyone has their choices out there to make. One of the things I wanted to think to say, if there is the debate tonight, what is it that you think is going to happen between Hillary and Donald Trump? I know that last time she kind of stayed even, and he kind of was off the charts, but he's going to have to do a lot of work tonight to get any vote, I think, out of this.
Hey, David, I just got to tell you, that I don't know where you guys are coming from, but I do appreciate hearing your feedback, all right? But if I was Hillary Clinton, I would have never had the first debate with that clown. Okay? Excuse me for saying that about him, calling him that. I'll retract that. But I would have never had a debate with that guy at all because I don't see the sense of even having one. And it's not going to be a debate tonight. It's going to be a drag-out screaming match. You know, or something like that. That's what you're going to hear tonight.
Well,
right, you're going to hear
candidate not to join the debate. You know, I mean, because it's something that we've been doing for years and years for them, for Hillary to say I won't debate him. That would have not worked well in her favor. That would have been a more negative than a positive for him, than a negative for her. So I see why she's doing it because what's been happening is tradition, and we're stuck with tradition here in the United States. Anyway, so what are we looking for Trump to do? What are we looking for Hillary to do tonight? What do you think, Bruce?
Hey, David.
Go
ahead, Bruce. I yield to you. Go ahead. I got something to say, but I'm going to yield to you, Bruce.
Thank you, my friend. I guess just listening is, I would ask all of my fellow panelists, think about this. What if, as deplorable as things that he's done, and as I've said several times tonight, I agree with you on that. And whether that gives us a peek into his soul or not, I don't know that. I don't personally know that yet. Maybe I'm slow because I'm a methodical engineer, but I don't know that yet. I don't like what I've heard, but I don't know that yet. Let's say the other person is smooth, calm, collective, says all the right things, says it in the right way, but behind the scenes or behind her own head does a number of other things that are deplorable and so forth. Is she any worse or better than he? I don't think so. And that's all I'm struggling with myself, is words aren't everything. They're important. They're very important. But action and words, if those are the two sides of the coin, both have to be looked at and considered before you make a decision.
Well, you need to go to church then. What comes out of one's mouth is an indicator of oneself. If you want to be a gentleman, you use the gentlemanly words.
Frank, I agree with you. Frank, I do, and I like to practice that way, and it sure sounds like you do as well. I agree with that statement. But I'm not Donald Trump, and I'm not Hillary Clinton, and neither are you. So I'm trying to figure the two of them out. I agree with you on that.
All right, Ron, where are you?
I try to practice that.
All right. But one of the things you said, Bruce, is it is two things. It is what they say and what they do. The do part is already done, right? So really it's what they say that might pull those people who are stuck in the middle one way or another, right? Because you're saying that to vote for a candidate, to get the good candidate, you have to weigh what they've done versus what they say. So
A lot of the track record we're going to look at, yes, your statement's true. In another part, the actions are unfolding day to day, good or bad, behind the scenes or right in front of your face, rubbed in your face, whatever. So not totally all done. Words and actions are commensurate and together and are working before or against your decision-making all the time. So, no, it's not the – actions aren't all past tense.
All right. Don, you said earlier you had something that you wanted to say. What was it?
Yeah. In fact, you were saying, what do you think will happen tonight?
Yes.
I don't know what will happen, but I'm hoping and praying that it goes a little bit something like this. Hillary should pause for a moment and say, Donald Trump, I'm going to give you an opportunity to apologize correctly to what we've experienced over the past 48 hours. And I don't want to hear anything but a sincere apology to women, because women in America and across the world are offended as to what you said. And just shut up. Don't say another word. And then let us hear what comes out of the mouth. Because I guarantee you, if it's in the heart, it'll come out of the mouth. And this man does not have the capacity to say, I'm sorry. In fact, he said it himself, I don't say I'm sorry. I just don't do that. And any person that doesn't do that, I have no respect for.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be able to tell tonight, when you watch that television set, how sincere he is. Some people say they're sorry because they are sincere and regretful, and then some people say I'm sorry just to get the heat off their A.
Right.
And he'll say I'm sorry just to get the heat off of them.
That's true. What do you think, Ron? I need some words from you. What do you think right now?
Well, I think as far as Trump is concerned, two things that I think people are going to be looking for. Obviously, center stage is going to be, what he has said about women and how truthful and how sincere, I guess is the best word, he is about any apology, if he does make an apology tonight. And I would sure hope that he does, because I know that's got to be center stage tonight. But then the other thing that I think the public that's there in person is going to want to know, which has been lacking really from his side up to this point, is specifics about anything. You know, I've never heard any specifics about any of his plans when it comes to foreign policy, the economy. No concrete specifics. I mean, he's just given generalities, and I think I think tonight's debate is a waste of time, because I think it's already a done deal and we know who's going to win, and the media has been saying that all day, but the media has a huge impact on the way voters vote and the turnout. And as far as Hillary, I think her issue tonight is going to be trustworthiness, you know, because I've been seeing in the news all day today and yesterday, you know, about her going back and forth on different things and, you know, changing her mind. I don't really have specifics as to exactly what things she has been changing her mind on, but I know other people do, and I'm sure that that's going to come up tonight early on, and I'd love to see how she handles that. And I'm sure, you know, the smart and brilliant lady that she is, an eloquent speaker, I'm sure she's going to handle it in a very professional and a presidential way, and I don't think she's going to flop at all. But, I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I can't wait until 9 o'clock tonight. I am glued to my seat, and I can't wait.
Hey, but listen, I got a question to ask you gentlemen. We know that he has said, I'm not going to step down. I'm in this for the long haul and so forth. But what do you think Pence is going to do with his conviction? What will he do?
Well, I heard this morning on Meet the Press that it's kind of too late to put somebody else on the ballot. So, you know, I'm not even sure that that's feasible anymore. If you're talking about, you know, maybe Pence being the nominee for the Republican Party, I don't know that that's possible. But, I guess anything is possible. So I know, Frank, you said earlier that you expect that by tomorrow, I think you said that you expect that by tomorrow it's going to be somebody other than Trump. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, I do fully expect that. And I expect that win or lose, the Republicans need to get rid of him to keep their party together. And I have voted Republican in the past, okay? But I'm going to tell you, and I've said this to you guys before, I'm a Rockefeller-style Republican, the same as Mr. Powell. And people, the whole group of people from the Bush administration are just saying, hey, forget this guy, the whole Bush family, we're not going to vote for this guy, okay? And the reason why is that we have a standard. We look at a great American. Let's take these people off our dollar bills. Let's take these people off our airport thing. Because what we're really saying is if we accept his type of conduct, we are lessening ourselves as a great nation that we're supposed to. There is no way we can say we're a great nation with a guy like him in office. And this is akin to having the same guy they have in Manila who's out there, the president of Manila that's out there now killing people because they're drug users, okay, shooting them. Oh, and that's the type of stuff. This guy has advocated the violation of laws by torturing prisoners. That's against the Geneva Convention. So, you know, that's my whole point. How can a guy be a president of the United States when he's not even familiar or schooled himself? You don't even have to go to college. You can just start reading and find those things out. Nobody sent me to school to understand there's a Geneva Convention that forbids us as a nation to do those type of things. So his whole presence advocates the violation of norms, of human norms that we that are holding the highest ideals in our churches, that are holding the highest ideals in our community. And if we dumb this thing down, the people like Trump, the kids like Trump talking, we are headed definitely in the toilet as a nation.
I have a friend that made a very interesting comment to me this morning, which actually made me think a lot. And it revolves around the fact that, you know, as most people would agree, Donald Trump almost single-handed, well, maybe not single-handedly, but pretty much so, has alienated and just, you know, just destroyed the Republican Party. But he's, you know, if you really think about it, he's not really a true Republican. And my friend made a comment to me. He said that Hillary is more of a Republican than Donald Trump in many ways.
I want to correct you. President Barack Obama single-handedly destroyed the Republican Party based upon how they treated him over the past 8 years, and now the chickens have come home to roost, and we got a person like Donald Trump in office. That's what happened.
Well, that's true.
That's correct. All right, I want to move on a little bit. We Well, I'll be listening tonight, looking at TV. I think.
You want to move on to taxes?
Pardon me?
You want to move on to taxes?
No.
Hey, David.
I don't even want to see the taxes anyway anymore. I'm so tired of taxes. But I want to talk about something that we've talked about consistently, and we have not come to a conclusion, and we need to think about something, and we as men need to take back this country in terms of this one item, which is guns. Two more police officers were killed, and one was wounded at Palm Springs. Young man. The young lady had just got back on maternity leave. It's only been on work for 4 months and got killed. They went to a dispute, a family dispute, and the man took out a gun and shot and killed them. But yet, because of the election, gun control has just died. Gun control has died. ISIS has died. Nobody's talking about those things that are important, and we need to keep them up because there's something we need to do to get the guns to do something. What do you think, Bruce? I know what we've been talking about, but we're at a point now of high emergency. I would say level one.
I'll make it pretty simple for me. There's a number of things that we purchase, use, and have that we need to be very responsible of in their use. Guns are one of them. Automobiles are another. The way you treat your spouse is another. All kinds of things. And I guess what I'm saying is, and I've said it for a long time, responsible use and ownership and management of weapons is, there's nothing wrong with that in this country. That's one of the things that has been a privilege of ours to exercise if we so choose. So I've said, I think that if we took all the guns away tomorrow, I don't think that's going to solve the problem, the deep problems that we've been talking about that are related to them. Might slow it down, might minimize it, might improve it in some way, but in a significant way, solve the problem? No, I don't believe that it would.
One of the things that's concerning to me are people who are in charge or who are supposed to be our leaders are encouraging guns. Jerry Falwell Jr. Made a statement to his students that they should all be armed when they come to class. Now, that is just disaster in itself waiting to happen. So we have leaders. So what do we, you know, this is bigger than a level of state level. I think this is at a federal level in terms of getting control. I think President Obama tried, but, you know, he wasn't getting any cooperation. And I'm hoping that during this election, that isn't just the president that's elected, that we start thinning out some of those people that have been causing all these problems and not getting these laws passed. What do you think, Don?
Say that again, David. Say that again. I want to get the crux of what you're asking.
Well, I think that we have a lot of leaders. You know, here's a president of a university encouraging students to be armed when they come to class. And we have a lot of leaders out there who are encouraging guns to be available, which is only, in my mind, eventually gun violence. And so I think at a federal level, we need to come up with some rules and regulations. I also think that in this election, to help move some of these laws around, we need to clean out Congress and the Senate to get people in place who are going to do some of these things and not fight with the president all day long, because I don't see, if Hillary does win, I don't see the Congress or the Senate changing in the way they have been functioning if we don't change the Senate or the Congress. So
it doesn't have to change. It could get worse.
It could get worse. That's true.
Yeah, that's what I think, David. It's going to get worse because, you see, we've already had some already pre-precedents already set with guns in school. I don't believe we need to have guns around schools. Why do we need that? I mean,
let me just tell you. I've stated this before. I grew up at a point in my life for a while. So I carried a gun as a sixth grader. because you needed that to protect yourself from the wildlife, okay? But I also, as a child, demonstrated the propensity to kill somebody accidentally because of my age and my enthusiasm to try to show something. So I know that as a person, all right? I'm also from the military, and I know we don't give everyone in the military a weapon to use because we do have some people that do not exhibit maturity or responsibility level. So, you know, one of our first things is we talk about screening people. But we have people in this nation that would not qualify any armed forces to be issued a weapon under any circumstances. And we only issue weapons to certain select people in the crew that demonstrate reliability. There's, you know, in nuclear weapons, there's a reliability program. So we don't let everybody handle nuclear weapons like this guy who wants to be president of the United States. Because not everybody had that type of facility to be able to handle that type of responsibility. So for me, we have more guns in this nation. This is a factoid, more guns than we have people in this nation. So there are more guns than there are human beings, every man and child. Someone advocated the other day, and this child was killed in Charleston, the child that was killed and the children that were shot, that they ought to be issuing guns to these elementary school kids. Right? And so if you did that, then you're going to have one of the elementary school kids kill their parents accidentally, kill their teacher accidentally, kill their fellow student accidentally. So we have, it's the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment guarantees that you can have a weapon and you can bear arms. And I think that we have people in our country that want their guns, so if they don't like what the United States is putting down or Congress, they can have a war. They can have a firefight at their home. I've had friends that actually that had firefights at their home with the police force that are not Afro-American.
Hey, David.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if where you live in the states where all of you live, if you've seen this commercial, but I think it started here in Florida today, where a young woman comes out and says that Hillary Clinton is trying to take away her right to bear arms and to protect herself, which I think is totally false. And this is a commercial that was put out by the NRA, and I think it's misleading. And basically telling people a lie that, you know, Hillary Clinton wants to repeal the Second Amendment so that nobody has guns. I mean, she's even said that that's not what she stands for. I think what she stands for is common sense. What we all believe is that there's too many guns. The bottom line, you know, which is there's too many guns in the wrong hands, period. You know, and if there were more checks and more checks and balances, we might be able to keep some guns away from the people who should not have the guns.
Right.
Hey, David. You know, yes. Hey, David. I noticed an increase in the amount of guns on the street and in people's hands when we stopped funding mental institutions and mental health programs.
You know, one of the things that we keep saying is we need to get guns off the streets. I think it's bigger than that. I think we need to get guns stopped in the manufacturing and then work on the streets. If you can take a gun off the street, but you can still go buy a gun, what's the use of taking it off the street? I think the manufacturing and the distributing is a big piece that we have never talked about. And, you know, a lot of the guns are coming from out of the country. There should be major tax or a moratorium on bringing those guns in. So I think it's a big piece that needs to happen, but it's not being talked about during this election. I mean, the things that are important to the American citizens, you know, what happened to ISIS? We don't even hear anything about ISIS anymore, but I'm sure they're out there looming around trying to do whatever it is they're doing to cause havoc among our people. And so this election, I think Trump has caused a lot of this to happen, in my opinion. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, I agree with you that the total solution of gun ownership as to number, type, whatever, doesn't matter. Responsible gun ownership, I agree, needs to be looked at from the point of manufacturing because, as we've all heard, and probably a lot of us agree, taking guns away from people that truly are responsible isn't going to change the ones that aren't. They're still going to get them any way they can, and so on and so forth. So manufacturing, yes. Not only that, that I think we've got to some way try to wrestle with the idea of why so many people feel they need so many guns at all, and the mindset. That's the toughest thing to look at and takes the longest thing to change, but it still needs to be looked at. If you don't do that, then you don't have a sense of why people feel they need one or two or three or whatever number of guns that they have, and be able to get them to change their thought process about that. A lot of people, particularly today, are buying weaponry of all types, not just guns, other things, because they're scared to death of what's going on right now. Now that may be
and Bruce, you know something, Bruce? I'm gonna tell you something, Bruce.
Yeah.
A lot of it is, like you said, fear. But most of it is. But most of it is marketing and advertising by the NRA. They have done a great job of marketing and advertising to politicians and elected officials. And these politicians and elected officials get the check in the mail, man, and they're bought. They can't say anything against it.
But Don,
yeah, I think you can go back to the war industry, Eisenhower's comments. I know a real estate broker in Virginia Beach who's a young guy, ex-Marine. He owns 6,000 rounds of high-velocity ammunition, and they've now found out how to convert a semi-automatic to an automatic weapon. And it's on the Internet demonstrated. You put a different stock on it, and you pump that stock, and it just fires the stuff out. So when you got a guy that has 6,000 rounds of ammunition, what do you think he's waiting on?
Waiting to shoot somebody.
You got that right. Waiting for the war. And there are people in the Republican Party, there may be some in the Democratic Party, but there are people who believe that we are right on the precipice of having an all-out man-for-man war. Based on even if Donald Trump gets elected, if Donald Trump doesn't get elected, and that's why the ammunition sales, if you look online, you'll see they've been extremely high. And that's just because we have people that believe that. We have people that think that their rights are going to be taken away by the federal government. They don't know. We're not in the government. The government taxes them, so the government's got to be a bad person. Well, the day I went to church, gentlemen, and the pastor of that church made a statement and said that we should all be praying for the city, the county, the state, and the federal government, because some countries and some peoples do not have people that are going to come out and rescue you, look out for you, provide water for you, and provide bedding for you. So we should all get on our knees and remember to be thankful, not to be like the leopards, where 10 of them were cured, but only one of them came back. So, that's a sobering thought to think about that. We don't think about thanking these folks for what they do to protect our lives and save us, but we sure in the hell buy lots of ammunition waiting to shoot them. So, yeah, you might say these thugs shoot policemen, but good old boy Americans are going to be shooting policemen like we saw that just happened.
All right. There's only a few minutes left, like 7 minutes in our show, but I know that last week I gave everybody a chance to come up with what they want to talk about. Let me do today, Don. What is it that you would like to talk about before we get off the air today, some subject matter that you think is important to men of this nation?
Well, most of all, I'd like for you to stay tuned, because at 9 o'clock tonight, there's going to be a big example of what I call big pimping. The example of pimping is what Donald Trump will display at 9 o'clock tonight. And I've never seen anything like it in my entire years of being in the media. And you're going to see it live in living color tonight at 9.
One of the things that I want to eventually talk about is the media, because the media is controlling the way that this nation is moving. Let me give you an example. The two officers, and there were actually three. Two were shot and killed. One was hurt in Palm Beach. There's articles everywhere, but you won't see one picture. I've tried to find a picture of the shooter. All the other shooters that were minorities, that were Hispanic, that were Latin, that were African-American, their pictures are on the front page. But you try to find the picture of the guy who shot and killed the officers. Now, the media is doing this. Another question is, the Matthew has gone all around and did a lot of damage, but the one thing you hear about is how Haiti is being hurt, and the poor people, and they're all underwater, and you show them not living well and stuff like that. The media is joining, I think, the Trump camp, me, and forging a lot of disparity about our nation, our people, and our thing. And I think somebody needs to take an interest in that. I think there needs to be, I don't think we should have a lot of government and things, but there are certain things that I think we need some control and some power over. And I think media is one of them. Don, as a media person, what do you think about that?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The thing is, David, the media has such an influence upon our life. I mean, on our well-being. The media has positioned things, and we've just got more news now than any other content of any other shows in America today, with the exertion of the networks and the cable and the Netflix and so forth, and it's shaping people's minds. And the thing is, we got a lot of, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. Michael Bazin and I were talking last night, and we're going to have the third debate watch in South Florida because we feel that South Florida is a swing state. Whoever takes South Florida will occupy the White House, and we really feel that way. And we're going to have the debate watch in South Florida, number three, after this one tonight. And the thing is, we were talking about how the media just shapes opinion, shape opinion, shape opinion. People in the media are discouraged about what's happening.
What do you mean discouraged? Why is the media discouraged?
Well, they got a lot of people in the media that really shouldn't be on, saying all kinds of crazy things, and you can't control that. And then you got people like owners and presidents of networks will just put anything on for ratings to build revenue. Hey, it's crazy, man. I mean, the whole game is crazy.
Can I add to that, Don?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Don, one of the things that, if you guys look back, if you haven't already, look back into the birth of normal TV media reporting and so forth. News, when it first came on the air, was free. They got their airtime for free. And
yeah,
the main purpose they did it is what we need to get back to now, I think. And that was, you report the news, you don't give opinion, you tell it like it is. And I think when that went away, when free television time for the media went away, they became a, I don't want to say entertainment center, but one had to outdo the other for market share, revenue, ads, et cetera, to keep their way of media alive and vibrant. So it became
exactly
a contest. And
exactly,
because of that, it's a business. We're getting shaped opinions instead of objective news. And I think
exactly,
if we could somehow get the news to media to go back to that, they would help us in a big way across this country. Huge.
But
exactly,
I don't think the solution is to have the government be Big Brother. I think that would be detrimental.
No,
actually.
No. You're right.
Well, PBS, we did not sustain PBS.
PBS is a exception to that nasty rule that I just mentioned.
Exactly.
They're good. They're good.
Well, been a good show today, gentlemen. I would like to thank everyone who is listening. I can see numbers, but we didn't get to a conclusion like we wanted to do, but we've done a lot of things. We are looking for tonight at 9 o'clock. We also want to send our condolences out to those people who had disasters through the Hurricane Matthew. We feel for you, and we hope that you will get through the next week well. God bless all of you, and guys, I'll look for you again next week. Men, join the Men's Voice every Sunday, 6 o'clock here. Good, have a nice week.
God bless you all, guys. Have a
good
week.
Good week, everyone.
Big pimping at 9. Big pimping at 9.
Oh, oh.
<Right. laughs>